Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast, the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. That's right. And we're dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. You're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, you're changing the world, and you're changing lives like me. You're changing my life, and I truly and absolutely appreciate it. That's why we celebrate you on this platform that's dedicated to you. Get on the doggone platform, doggone it. All right, we got a great interview. Alvaro Espinoza is on the interview schedule today. And he's with Cap Logistics, and we're talking about not just leadership, sourcing. Boy, if that's not a topic. So in this COVID world, the supply chain has been flipped and twisted and, you know, tied up in knots. A lot of challenges out there. In the heroes of manufacturing, conversations about sourcing have been numero uno. About what do we do it, how do we keep our business going, how do we source products, how do I take some of it here and create a more resilient portfolio of supply chain solutions. All incredible. Alvaro and the team at Cap Logistics, they have great insights into Mexico and the opportunities that exist there for manufacturing and creating the supply chain that sort of helps take away some of the sting into what you need to do as a manufacturer, as you need to do as a an industrial company. Now, again, we are constantly talking about the ability to be able to survive, rebuild, and prosper. The individuals that we have on this particular podcast are all dedicated to that fact. And the way we want to try to survive, to rebuild, and to prosper is we've got to be focused on retaining talent, right? Retaining talent, managing your risks, because there's a lot out there, managing and taking an incremental approach about that. We got an interview about that one too. Managing risk, saving money, making money, and creating a business that has resiliency, because we never know when that two-finger COVID death punch is going to come and hit you across the head again, if it happens, or it might be something else. It might be some other challenging thing. So you've got to be pinpoint focus on that. Now, how are you going to do that? One, okay, let's say, one, you want to collaborate. We're creating a network right now within Industrial Talk of individuals that, you know, just span the professional landscape within industry. They're operational professionals. They are technology professionals. They are leadership professionals. They just keep financial professionals out on the Industrial Talk podcast, because we want to collaborate. You got to collaborate, not just internally, externally. Let's get some information out there. We want to also innovate, right? No doubt about it. You want to innovate, not just from a technology point of view, but innovate from a leadership point of view, innovate from a sales point of view, innovate from a marketing person. You've got to do that. And the way you do that is you collaborate, right? You've got to find out from people who are just really, really trying to do everything they can to help you to be a success. Then you got to educate, because things are changing so dramatically. Just like you've got to educate. You've got to keep current. You've got to... The time is compressed, and you got to learn from the people who know what they're talking about, who've been there, done that, who have the battle scars, right? Let's learn. Let's educate. The biggest component is speed, right? Speed. You got to do this with speed, and you got to do it. You've got to move. You got to move forward, and you got to be willing to make mistakes and then adjust. And they get back up, and then you continue to move forward, and you collaborate, you continue to do that. You need to do all of this, because you need to survive, you need to rebuild, and you need to prosper. We me and others depend on you. You're that important. You are heroes, not just here, but around the world. That's why you're special. All right, enough with my monologue. Okay, we've got Alvaro Espinoza, right? Cool name. The guy packs wisdom. The guy brings the sourcing and leadership lumber on this particular podcast. He does. You need to listen to it. And he's with Cap Logistics. Now, you say, oh, who's Cap Logistics? No, Cap Logistics is an incredible company that is just focused on getting what you need in the most effective way. And they do it with such high level of professionalism that you just, it's like that company's amazing. That's Cap Logistics. Go look at them. You'll be amazed. I'm telling you right now. All right, let's get on with the interview. Enough with me yammering on. Alvaro is on the interview. He's great. He brings a lumber. Enjoy the conversation. Alvaro, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. So glad that you made time in your busy schedule because you are a busy gent. How are you doing today?
As always, a vibrating day. Super busy, pushing out content, pushing out ideas and concepts and engagements with a lot of customers. So very, very happy to be with you.
Yes. But. Well, here's the thing. Okay, you listeners out there, we're going to be talking a little bit about leadership. We're going to be talking about continuous improvement, and especially from my perspective. And with the fact that we had this global pandemic, it really, from my point of view, has highlighted the lack of leadership. And not to say you can't get there, but you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to recognize that I've got some leadership gaps, and we're going to make it over there. And the other thing that we're going to be talking about would be we're going to change our sourcing strategy to a certain extent. Not everything's going to be coming from China, and we're going to shift, and we're going to find other sources, and we're going to find other locations, and we're going to have to. And that means infrastructure, strategies, all of the stuff that's associated. So that is what Alvaro brings to the doggone table. But before we do get into that interview, Alvaro, give us a little background on where you come from and why you're such an incredible professional.
Well, my background, I was born in Mexico, in Guadalajara, but I'm part of that group of confused Mexicans that are between the traditional Mexico of 40 children, right, versus the new generation that bought into the American dream. So I'm a bilingual, trilingual. I also speak French and Spanish, and I've been studying my entire life. So I was invited to move into the United States 10 years ago to be working in a very highly specialized job here in America. And I was leading a business of $800 million size back in the day. Wow. And I decided to just stay, and I've been happy and paying my taxes and being involved in the best country in the world.
Wow. That is a mic drop. Thank you very much. That's really pretty cool. And you can tell, listeners, he's got some mad street cred when it comes to this topic that we're going to be talking about. Now, we briefly touched upon it in our pre-conversation, but I want to be able to expand a little bit about it because we were talking about continuous improvement and leadership. Can you sort of explain a little bit about that general topic?
Yeah, well, we discussed, right, that in the challenging moment before COVID-19, in a company, in a business environment, when you have a challenge in terms of cash flow, in terms of turnover, in whatever it is, or competition came into the neighborhood, then the best part of you comes out as accepting the challenge, being a gentleman, and manning up to the occasion, or you basically blame people and do not want to face the challenge, and you are kind of trying to protect your little piece of pie, right? So right now, with the current situation, with the tariff war with China, with how the entire world is configuring, it's time for us to man up, and it's time that leadership is a big piece. And we see how a crisis can be managed correctly or a crisis can be managed poorly. And I think at the personal level, I mean, the leadership has different levels, and I want to talk about that, because in 27 years that I've been in global manufacturing, 20 countries around the world, doing continuous improvement, very few people can actually understand actually what is the role of a leader. What is the role of a leader?
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that.
All right. So a couple of things that listeners, so what we were talking to about was one, you're looking at an individual and how they behave in times of crisis. Now, either they blame, sort of a, blame or accept and move and try to work to a solution, right? Good leadership versus bad leadership. I think that many of the listeners out there have been a part of the other side where they blame. So let's talk a little bit about some, well, let's say I put my hat on, I'm a leader, and I want to improve. I want to be able to be a better leader. Let's say I've accepted the fact. Give us some sort of ideas of what we can do to try to be able to.
Well, I've been in the consulting world for the last 6 years, and I've been studying my entire life. I think education is a huge, huge element. So wherever you can, so my first recommendation on this podcast is look for this book called Lead with Respect. This is a book that is Lead with Respect, and I can give you the author, and we can put it in the credits later.
Yeah, the show notes. What I'm going to do is I'm going to wrap it up, and I'm going to put it in there, and I'm going to have that link to whatever, let's say Amazon, and there's the book, and wherever you can get it.
Yeah, Lead with Respect. That book. We'll talk about aspects of that. But basically, it's the author is Michael Ballet and Freddie Ballet, and basically talks about what is the role of a leader, and the role of a leader for me and in this for this author and what I've been able to understand is four levels: personal leadership, so a person that doesn't improve himself every day. And in personal life, in relation with their family, with himself, learning new tools, honing and really improving, fitness, whatever you want to call it. But they have a goal to say, I'm going to be better, more productive, whatever. That's a personal management piece. But after that, in the operation, in manufacturing, you need to understand that you need to support the operation. There is three levels. I mean, after the personal level, there is another level that is what is called supporting the operation or what we call in lean manufacturing, the standard work, which means you need to go and walk the talk with your people and handshake the hand of that driver, handshake the hand of that worker,
right,
and listen to them. Give time yourself to understand their struggle. Why? Just go and ask the question, what do you need to be to do your job better? How can I help you? And that's the element that I see very scarcely. They never go to the floor. They never talk to the operation. They never go and roll the sleeves and say, hey, let me just talk with the guys that create the value of my company. First, I mean, this is the second level. First is the personal level. Second is this element of support to the operations, to the direct front team on the operation. The third level is that you are responsible for improvement as a leader. So what does that mean? That your job is to, once you understand what your people is doing, you need to make sure that you improve the flow of, they call it, the Japanese call it, improve the flow of the work. Some leaders, they say, oh, people is lazy, people doesn't work, da, da, da. Okay, your job is actually on block. You need to really flatten the rough for them. Your job as a leader is to work with your middle management team and make sure that those guys make the work better for them. In this COVID-19 situation, how are we going to be doing a new layout in the company, right? Because people need to be in certain distance. That type of work it's not the people who will say, oh, I'm going to see this distance. You need to participate with your middle team and say, hey, we need to improve this situation every day. And a percentage of your time needs to be devoted to improve. Mr. Elon Musk, he says, most of my day is engineering talk. Why Tesla is so successful? This guy is part of the engineering effort. So here we go. That's a leadership right there.
Yeah.
And the fourth element is that you need to bring innovation to your company. Not only improvement, but innovation, which means relationships with other companies, yeah, alliances with other companies, pivoting your business to another market. I mean, and some leaders start saying, hey, my business doesn't grow. I don't know what to do. And they are bored. Because, and they say the top line declining, and I'm like, okay, amigo, your job is innovate. What are you doing about it? What networking are you doing? What, you know what I mean? So
yeah, absolutely.
It's very interesting to see these guys that are leaders, owners of companies, and they don't understand these four levels of leadership. And it's very concise. It's not philosophical. It's not like BS that most people actually sell, but right, it's this absolute understanding of the structure of your mindset and how it needs to operate.
See, what's interesting about it, and in that book, what you were talking about, I think that that's really important. You don't have to eat that whole elephant. If you're saying, hey, I struggle here, I'm not that good there, but I'm good here. And you know, you can sort of have that quick self-assessment and then maybe take a small bite at a time, right? Now I'm going to go and I'm going to say, today I'm going to go out on the production floor and I'm going to interact and I'm going to make it a priority, because the reality is what you're talking about is that you sort of get out of whack, right? And you sit in that office and you do this, you know, you sort of respond to the shiny object and you're not that disciplined to be able to do all of these things. And when you start talking about innovation, and I like where you went with that. It's innovative when it comes to people, right? And we've sort of taken, well, sort of from a pre-pandemic point of view, we were lazy. We, you know, it was like, okay, we just maybe interact. And now we need help.
Yeah.
We need to be innovative when it comes to people and our interaction with people. And so not only technology for efficiency, but people. And I really like that. And you know, if you're a leader out there and you're hearing this and it's resonating, just incrementally sort of begin to tackle the challenges and
absolutely
recognize. And I think your point about education as well. I mean,
huge.
God, you can, I mean, you got the World Wide Web. You don't even, I mean, there's a lot of free stuff out there, man.
A lot. Most of us, we are missing 68 games or 168 games of baseball that last like 3 hours per day. And I have friends that are proudly say, hey, I look every single game of the Phillies. And I was like, wow, I could be doing a PhD in that time. Right? I mean, why we are losing leadership among Germany in some industries, among Japan in most of the industries, and with China in a lot of industries.
Yeah.
The COVID is bringing us the opportunity to wake up. It's a wake-up call. It's a very tried word, and most people use it. But it's really an opportunity to self-examine and say, Jesus, I've been hidden in my laurel, you know?
See, that's interesting, because I think pre-pandemic, I think we did rest on our laurels. I think we were lazy. I think we didn't bring our A game, for lack of a better term. And then when you brought up the example of sitting in a baseball game for 3 hours, 3 hours plus, 3 hours plus.
Yes.
And in that time, you could really elevate your education. Not to say I'm not, I love baseball. Don't get me wrong out there, listeners. I'm a big baseball fan.
It's a culture and it's a beautiful game.
Yeah, absolutely. But to your point, and maybe it's more like time management, right? And what we're talking about is like, do I really need to do that versus this? Or what? I mean, you can have that conversation, but it requires discipline, right?
It just does.
A structure and discipline. So that piece of leadership is what I wanted to discuss. And I just want to say the last piece is I published a book about this also in 2016. I'll send you the link as well for your people.
Yep.
And this is what brought me here, man. And I come from a family that I didn't have a chance to eat meat. I was a vegan by necessity when I was a child.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't afford meat. And now I'm here, you know, 3 master degrees after living in the United States and doing a big impact in my community because this is a nonstop journey, you know?
I like that. And that's the right mindset. Okay, so we're gonna sort of shift a little gears here, and I like that whole thing. So we're gonna have it all out there on industrialtalk.com. That'll be great. All the links. If you're inspired by that, which you should be, make it so, make it happen, and be more efficient at your consumption of just knowledge. Just make it happen, big time. Now, one of the elephants in the room, as we were talking about elephants, is here we are talking about sourcing, supply chain. Interruptions, you know, one day everything was humming right along and everything's all efficient and wonderful and we're producing whatever. And then somebody says, we got a pandemic, click, shut it down. Everything just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're trying to gear back up. And I think there's a number of people that are contemplating, how do I create greater resiliency in my business? How do I bring back, let's say, closer supply chain solutions for my business for sourcing, and mm-hmm. because of your experience within Mexico and around the world, I think that this would be probably a dandy conversation to expand upon a little bit. Give us a little background on what do you think is going to be taking place and some of the challenges.
Well, let me talk about a little bit of my experience. So I've been working as a consultant for now 6 years, and 20-30% of my business has been in continuous improvement, implementing leadership, implementing tools and web-based operational systems like the TPS, the Toyota Production System, tailored to your needs. That's 30% of what I do. Yeah. I go to factories and just shake the tree and create production lines, design, in the right, labor, the right labor content and efficiencies. Right. That's one piece. But the biggest piece is that people is like, even if I produce at a standard, because of the cost of my materials, I'm out of competitiveness. I cannot compete.
Yep.
Because my sources are really expensive. So they go to China. Most of people have gone there. And now with this situation that is hard, because one, the tariffs are really unstable. Nobody really knows what's going to be the result of the tariffs penalties or this war of tariffs. So that's some lack of visibility on that. So you cannot really understand your retail price because you don't know what it will be your material cost.
Exactly.
So what is happening, as I told you this before, based on the economical trade challenges is predicted by the economical world forum that $17 billion will be moved out of China to other countries, including Malaysia, Vietnam, India, Mexico and Colombia, Costa Rica, Puerto Rico even has some hope there in the next 7 years. $17 billion per year. And so what is the real situation? People tell me, how much can really be absorbed by, for instance, Mexico? Knowing our capabilities, I think Mexico can absorb, if at best, 30%.
Wow.
And there is a huge element of supplier development that needs to happen.
Yeah.
So if the supply chain has been so long in China, Scott, that really, if you intend to bring, I was sourcing like gears or I was sourcing like transmissions from China. Can I find a guy in Mexico that can do it like overnight? No, not in the quality, not in the volume, because the supply chain was not established. Money is lazy, you know? So,
But see, this is what the challenge is, in because we've invested so much time, energy, and capital within China, and we've refined the supply chain.
Right.
We refined our manufacturing processes. We are just, there's a link, and that infrastructure from manufacturing to the port to our port, and then so on and so forth, all very tight. That's one. Now you're talking about, okay, let's try to diversify that supply chain into other countries that don't have it. That means you got to either commit to a long-term solution, mm-hmm. commit to significant capital outlay
right.
for the infrastructure, the manufacturing, long-term relationships. And again, you just don't know. But to your point, the tariffs that are being imposed on China, they're all over the board. And so for me, from a sourcing perspective, I can't nail down my costs for my price.
Right.
So it's a very interesting time, Alvaro.
It is, and you need to be and analyze the commodity so you can understand. Like they come to us in B9 Sigma and ask us like, oh, I want to move a bicycle factory. That's a specific challenge, right? Because depending on the labor content, then you can make it happen. I want to move, some of the guys, hey, I want to move some ingredients. Some of the guys come to us and they because of the TikTok, all who has teenagers in their family, TikTok has a challenge. And now those massive applications that are very suitable for staying at home, you know, with family are in consuming a lot of resources and new markets are emerging like for a soap, you know, which is crazy. And this guy's like, hey, I'm for sourcing this from Pakistan, and now I want to bring them from Veracruz, Mexico. Right. And so, yeah, some of the things that you can. So, but you need to do the drill down the analysis. What I want to say and to your audience and to everybody is that there is no the Alibaba of Mexico. That is not such thing. You know, Alibaba is this tool that everybody knows or made in China. There is two websites that are the main, let's say the kind of the Amazon of China, where you can just buy stuff.
Right.
People want to be like, hey, what is in Mexico? Mexico doesn't have that infrastructure.
Nope.
Mexico doesn't have that type of sophistication in supply chain, because all of that, it took years, at least a decade, to be developed. So now, and for a better word, we need to really create or cluster finally. This is an opportunity with COVID to say, hey, let's do our cluster here. Let's have Mexico, United States, and Canada to really consolidate as an economical zone, which we have done. But we still have these understandings, right?
It's definitely not tight, right?
Yeah, it's not tight. We can do better.
We can.
I think so when it comes that you have a specific need, we need to analyze that, and we have in our network people that can do the work for us to understand the tariff legislation, which is changing by day, and two, understanding what the mature industries in Mexico, which you can come to us. We have Mexico Sourcing is a great company that we can, in the central area of Mexico, there is another company called Provenza. Those guys are more in the Mexico, Gulf of Mexico area. It's like three big corridors. And in the Tijuana area is another company that is called Quality Up or High Quality,
right.
Which is another sourcing company. So the idea is you cannot just go alone, because you will screw up big time.
Yeah.
Just an experience. I had the opportunity to work for Ryobi and for Milwaukee Tools. And I think it's not a secret. It's public information. They were trying to establish some supply chain in Mexico. It was a struggle. We spent a good year, and some of the expected prices were, we never met the prices that they were getting from China. And you need to make sure that you understand the landed cost, the total acquisition cost is another element, and the cost of money. So, which includes that element. So I don't know.
You know what I do hear, Alvaro? What I do hear is at one, I think every company from the innovation point of view needs to consider and evaluate how maybe from a sourcing point of view, look at it, evaluate it at a minimum, saying, hey, I'm already over here. I'd like to try to shift some, maybe this, figure out some solutions within that portfolio of sourced products and maybe slice off a portion of it, maybe reducing your risk profile overall, right? But you're going to have that conversation.
And that those are techniques, Scott, that are out there. It's called dual sourcing or assurance of supply strategies, where basically you, depending on the demand, also in your margin, I mean, you have a bigger margin or it's more a sophisticated product, maybe lower demand with a bigger margin, like more like for another niche. Depending on that, you need to analyze the demand, you need to analyze your margins, you need to analyze all those things and say, okay, maybe what I need to do is like do a dual sourcing where the high volume needs and low margin needs to continue being somewhere in Malaysia, Asia, some lower, and then the close, high quality, low volume, higher margin product needs to go in a dual sourcing strategy. That type of it does exist. That is not new.
No.
But now more industry needs to adopt those techniques. You know what I mean?
Because the COVID situation, the pandemic, brought it to the forefront of everybody's knowledge, right? Once again, pre-pandemic, laziness. Post-pandemic, you got to think differently. You've got to generate some intellectual capital and expel it.
Yeah, just to don't trigger those leaders and or the people with capital is laziness. Let's say passiveness.
Passive. Oh. Sorry if I've interviewed I offended anybody with lazy because I know I was.
I'm just kidding, but
no,
you're correct.
Right. Yeah,
we were sleeping in our laurels, and it's time to wake up and be proactive.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna have to wrap it up. Alvaro, are you active out on LinkedIn?
Yes, I'm active in LinkedIn. Right. I'm publishing every week content, and I will for sure upload your or podcast. But also, I have all my network. I'm trying to do alliances here because if we want to eat the $17 billion, my friend, I think it's a wrong mindset. And when we're talking about innovation, the innovation is called now cooperation.
Yeah,
and it's called like, don't be greedy. Go share, connect,
and
see who can take it, right? And I think it's a leadership element.
Talk. You don't have all the answers. Somebody might have a little portion of the solution, and you might bring another one. You might link it together, and it might be a good strategy. Absolutely.
Exactly.
So we're going to have all that, listeners out there. We're gonna have all of his contact information out on industrialtalk.com. Alvaro, you were wonderful. You were absolutely a gem. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You're welcome.
I appreciate it, man. And we're going to have all the contact out there. So you listeners out there, you know I'm going to wrap it up on the other side. Do not go away. And I know you will. If you go away, I'll know who you are. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, listeners, two words. Alvaro Espinosa, Cap Logistics, the company, insights into sourcing and leadership. He brought the lumber. Thank you very much, Alvaro, for being on the Industrial Talk podcast. Again, you're going to have to be about collaboration. You're going to have to be about education. You're going to have to be about innovation. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it with a sense of speed and purpose. You move forward. You got to move forward. We depend on you. You are that important. You need to survive, you need to rebuild, and you need to prosper. We're depending on it. That's why we've created this great sort of community of industrial, you know, people on the Industrial Talk podcast. They're dedicated not just to your success in operations, but success, leadership, finance,
technology, emerging technology. It's all out on the Industrial Talk Podcast in the Industrial Academy. You got to learn. There's no way of getting around it. Take little snippets. I don't care. Whatever you got to do. All right. We got another great interview coming your way. Absolutely. Because we're part of a great, great community. Everything you need to know about Cap Logistics and Alvaro will be out in industrialtalk.com. All right. You're bold? Yep. You're brave? Absolutely. You dare greatly? Thank you. You're changing the world. Thank you very much for what you're doing. We're going to be back shortly with another great interview. Be safe.